This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
A University of British Columbia research study was recently presented at an international conference in Shanghai. Fourth-year sociology student April Duté shared her experiences from the Nanisinic Arviat History Project at the Universitas 21 undergraduate conference, which was hosted by an international network of 23 research-intensive universities. The archival project began after a UBC social work professor was approached by Inuit elders from Arviat Nunavut, who asked for help in passing on their experiences to a younger generation. A plan grew to document the experience and history of colonization from the Inuit point of view.
And we're joined on the phone by April Duté. Welcome to People First Radio, April.
Hi there.
April, tell us about the origins of this project. And how did you become involved?
Like was sort of just said before, the project it is something that's informed out of the community needs. So the professor who I work with, Dr. Frank Tester, he's been working in the Arctic for about 30 years and has developed strong connections with different community members there. And so when he was in Arviat just a couple of years ago, he was approached by the Sivulut Elder Society, so a local elder society in Arviat, Nunavut. Arviat is a community of youth. Essentially, 75% of the youth are under 25 years old, and a lot of the issues facing youth, or a lot of the issues in the community are ones, as you can imagine, facing youth. So, for example, the suicide rates in the Arctic are the highest in Canada, nearly 8 times the rate of that in southern Canada, like, an urban city like Toronto. Also, Arviat is home to the highest birth rate in Canada, has a higher birth rate than some developing countries like Trinidad and Tobago, Guatemala, Uzbekistan. So there's a real need for a project, something to address youth issues in the community. And something that the elders addressed was the need for Inuit youth to become more aware of their culture. And so my professor and the elders worked together to sort of create a project that could be used. So it is a research project, but it is also very much a project that's impacting youth right now in the community, benefiting from it. It's not just like a project that's going to simply, take results and then, formulate an answer to solve the problem or to address issues in the community. It's a project that's actually making a difference right now. So it's a really worthwhile and rewarding project to be a part of. I got involved in it as an undergraduate student, so I'm originally from Northern Canada as well, not the Arctic, but Haida Gwaii, and so I wanted to work in the Arctic. I'm involved in healthcare issues. I consider myself to be a healthcare advocate. I've worked on different health projects on my home islands, and saw this as a worthwhile project to get involved in, and so that's kind of my role in the project.
What did you learn during the course of the research, April?
Well, I guess the more I'm learning is the importance of knowing your history. And first, when I started the project, I really conceptualized it in sort of a one-dimensional manner. So the point of this project, too, is for Inuit youth to look at their history and to tell the history from an Inuit perspective, because so often, the histories that we're learning in high schools or even in university are told from a one perspective. So usually, the perspective of those who are in power. So it might be university professors or, explorers who first came to the region or government officials who first worked there. So I've learned so much about the different perspectives of history, and through learning it through Inuit elders and reading all the archival documents alongside the youth. So archival documents from government workers, Canadian government workers, nurses, RCMP officers, and who went to the Arctic and did a lot of this work that essentially moved Inuit from living on the land in igloos, in tents, to living a Western life. And it was more than just, you know, a change of living to living in a house. It was a change of the whole, a whole lifestyle. So, you know, your whole way of living, the way you understand and conceptualize yourself in society is changed. And now, you know, you're made to fit into a society that might not actually fit with, you know, the way that you were living before. And that has had huge implications. And the real surprise about this is this only happened in the last 50 years. Like, and we look at Arviat, which is the community we're looking at in our case study, this happened in the late 1950s. So it's not like historically like 200 years ago. It's recent. It's in this generation. The grandparents of the youth we're working with are the elders who are moved off the land to live in a Western camp life. And so I guess the more and more I'm learning about this, the more it's not just something that happened to Inuit. And it's not just Inuit history either. It's Canadian history. It's all of our histories. And the fact that we don't know this in high school, and the fact that many of us graduate university too and still don't know this history, is, you know, quite alarming. And it's important for us to know this, you know, so this doesn't happen again, and so that we can understand what's going on in the Arctic and for different Indigenous issues, like in a contextual manner. And I guess that's one of the biggest things I'm learning about it too, just being, you know, going to the South as a university student and meeting other people on a day-to-day basis, just how few people know about this history.
This is People First Radio on CHOY, across the islands and streaming online at choy.ca.
For decades, Inuit elders have expressed concern about the knowledge Inuit youth have of their own social history and culture. The Nanisinic Arviat History Project brings together Inuit youth and elders in an exploration of their history and culture from an Inuit point of view. During a 10-year period, the Inuit of Arviat went from tents and igloos, land-based camps, and a predominantly hunting culture to living together in a settlement originally known as Eskimo Point and now called Arviat. This is possibly the fastest rate of change for any group of Indigenous people anywhere in the world in all of recorded history. The impacts on culture, physical and mental health, social relations, and well-being have been dramatic. We're speaking with University of British Columbia sociology student April Duté, who recently shared her experiences from the Nanisinic Arviat History Project in an undergraduate research conference in Shanghai.
April, you just returned from Shanghai and the Universitas 21 conference that was held there. Tell us about that experience. What was it like for you?
Well, besides the humidity, which was made it about 40 degrees, it was a great experience after I got used to the heat. It was an interdisciplinary conference, so there was people from all over the world presenting research from different forums: economics, quantum physics, microbiology, and then to projects like mine. And it was a fantastic experience because a lot of these student researchers who I was speaking to had, you know, not really learned a lot about the Inuit. You know, the Inuit are used so often as the emblem of, you know, what makes Canada, Canada. The North and, you know, Indigenous peoples, and the Nukchuk was used, you know, as the emblem for the Olympics this year, but so little people around the world actually knew about the Inuit, and many were surprised at this history of colonization that Canada has historically participated in. But I think one of the highlights of the conference from the project-wise was that a lot of the other projects, a lot of the other students representing these countries, like New Zealand, Australia, the UK, they all have a history of colonization and, you know, have a history of working with indigenous groups. And for example, like Australia, you know, has rather strained relationships with their indigenous population. So a lot of the students and professors who I was speaking with from those countries saw a value in the project I was presenting and saw this as a framework that could be used also in their respective countries. So,
what were the responses from other students and people attending the conference to your Nanosynic RVAT project presentation?
They really liked the creativity in the project. The project uses a variety of multimedia, so we use documentary filmmaking. The youth are putting together a documentary film retelling the history of the Arctic from an Inuit perspective. They're blogging about it on our Tumblr site, so the Nanosynic RVAT History Project. They're also taking photographs, you know, Twittering, Facebook, and so it's a very involved project, and I think the social media aspect, and it was a really exciting one for the researchers to learn about, because so often I think as a researcher you can get very narrow in your work and get really involved and maybe not be able to share it with a wider audience. So I think people like that idea of it, that it was being shared on a larger forum and that people could, you know, get in touch with the youth online, visit the blog, and sort of just, you know, stay in touch with the project on a daily basis.
April, what have these experiences been like for you, and what have they meant to you personally? How have you changed?
Well, I've spent a lot of time in the Arctic since I've been involved in this project. So my last two summers I've spent up there, and being in the Arctic is an amazing experience, and it's being immersed in a culture that is, you know, it is different from sort of Western, Southern culture, and I really enjoy that, just being sort of in an environment where you don't have to, you know, being in the city, there's so many things that you have to worry about. To be at this appointment on time, you have to catch this bus, go here, go there. I'm from the north originally, and the one thing about being on this project is that it shows you, you know, there are different ways of doing things in life, and, you know, not all of it is about, you know, being stressed out or, you know, having to do this, do that. Like, you know, there's certain things out there that make sense to do and not to do. And I guess working with the Inuit youth this summer, a lot of things we talk about are the cross-cultural differences of doing research, and for me personally, just the solutions that the Inuit youth have, you know, showed me and offered me are really refreshing and showing me that there's a different way that we can conceptualize how we approach projects. And for me, being interested in health personally, this is a project that looks at social health and well-being and you know, looks beyond the biomedical approach to health that we would maybe normally take in southern areas and in Canada. So,
April Duté, I just want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciated that.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
April Duté is a fourth-year student in sociology at the University of British Columbia. After she graduates, April wants to work to raise awareness about the issues facing northern regions and to help change the way that healthcare is administered in isolated communities. You can find out more about the Nanosynic RVAT History Project online at nanosynic.tumblr.com. Nanosynic is spelled Nanisinik.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.